Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and not only is the Summer House drama never ending, but we also got some major Bravo announcements today. This will be a shorter kind of bonus Monday episode. I told you guys at the end of last week when I went off the Bravo beat for a second that I wanted to get all my thoughts on the Summer House stuff out there. So I'm going to get that out today. Tomorrow's The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills end of season deep dive. And then we'll also have more Summer House at the end of the week for you guys. So first off, it's the Bravo announcement. So as I mentioned with the Ladies of London speculation, I figured that the upfronts were coming up and that Bravo would announce a lot of things together. And that's exactly what happened, not for Ladies of London, but for a lot of their shows. So they did have this pre-show with some pairs of people talking to Darren, who is Andy's assistant, on one of the NBC social pages. And in that, we heard a couple updates. One was from Dolores and Melissa. Melissa said that Real Housewives of New Jersey starts filming tomorrow, aka Tuesday. And Dolores said that Melissa, Teresa, and her are joined by six new women. So Jersey is getting going. Also, Lindsay and Carl were paired for this pre-show. And Lindsay said that Amanda texted me, "We're trying to figure out a time to meet." Carl added that the door is open more for Amanda than for West. And Lindsay said that she's going to talk to Amanda, quote, "to honor the history of the friendship altogether. I think we should talk." And they both shared that they had not texted West back after he had reached out to them. So that's interesting. And I guess Kyle said at the Vulture party last week that he had sent West a voice note after he had texted him. So he has responded to him. But that was interesting to hear from Lindsay and Carl. I think the thing that I read about Amanda, one is that she's been in their orbit for much longer. And two, it probably has to do within the city. You know, like they have a show together. So there's more of a, not incentive, but there's more of a reason, I guess, to like hear her out. TBD. I don't know if that means on camera or off camera conversation, but it does sound like they're open to hearing Amanda, which I think is really interesting. And then there was also at the upfronts, they played a quick peek at the Summer House reunion. And it's Kyle and Sierra and Mia and Carl. They're sitting, it seems like they're at sort of a commercial break or just before the reunion starts or something. They're huddled around and they say they have proof that West was in an exclusive relationship since February of 2025. I think that's probably with Montana Girl. And that it was a very quick clip, but it obviously was dramatic and got whet the appetite, of course. Okay, so we also got a lot of new show announcements at the actual upfronts. Andy was the one announcing all of this. So he said that Real Housewives of Rhode Island is renewed for a second season. That's an early renewal because usually Bravo shows are not renewed until they're finished airing. So that's why in these announcements, you don't really hear much about Atlanta or Southern Hospitality or The Valley, because those are still airing. And so there's still a lot to go in those seasons. They're not going to make a decision about most of those, you know, which is when they usually do at the end of the season. But Real Housewives of Rhode Island had the strongest series or season premiere ever for an original Bravo show, I think, on Peacock. And then it's on pace to become the number two show across the network behind Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So that's huge. And the shows they announced that were renewed, are some of them have already filmed. Some of them are currently filming. Some of them have not started filming their next seasons. So those shows are Salt Lake City, Potomac, Real Housewives of New York, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Summer House, Southern Charm, The Valley Persian Style, Married to Medicine, Wife Swap, Real Housewives Edition, Below Deck Down Under, Top Chef, Below Deck, and Watch What Happens Live. They also said that Jeff Lewis's previously announced show, Still Flipping Out, which signals his return to Bravo, that's coming later this year. And they also shared when all the shows that are premiering this summer are coming out. So they have Below Deck Mediterranean on June 8th, The McBee Dynasty on June 15th, Next Gen NYC on June 24th, Real Housewives of Orange County July 9th, and Ultimate Girls Trip Roaring 20th on August 9th. And then the other things we got are there are going to be two Peacock micro dramas, which like, I'm kind of confused about this, to be honest. I guess this is a thing on TikTok, but they're going to be like 60 to 90 second episodes and like 60 episodes or something per season. Madison LaCroix is getting one that's like Salon Confessionals. And then randomly, Heather Gay's daughter, Georgia, is getting one that's like College Confidential because she goes to University of Miami. So a little confused about that. I guess I'm kind of intrigued. I don't know how much I'll be watching those, but I'll check them out, I'm sure. And then we also found out that the Traitors civilian version is airing on NBC on Thursdays this fall. All right, so Bravo also announced they're picking up two entirely new shows. The first one is Secret Lies, Texas Wives, which is the working title. And as Ira Madison III, who was actually on tomorrow's episode of Gabbing with Gabe, pointed out, Secret Lies and Texas Wives is phonetic to Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. And obviously, like, this is not a Housewives show, so I'm curious how this is going to be differentiated from Housewives. Maybe it's going to be kind of more in the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives vein, but it's also going to play on the Hunting Wives interest, kind of like how Real Housewives initially did with Desperate Housewives interest back in the day. I don't know. That's just a guess. But here's the description for the show. In the heart of Texas Hill Country is the picture-perfect town of Boehm, where wealth, beauty, faith, and family reign supreme. Centered on a tight-knit circle of glamorous women, the series follows their lives as they raise families, run ranches and farms, and manage sparkling social calendars in a town rooted in rodeos and tradition. Behind the polished smiles and Sunday sermons, however, there are intimate relationships and forbidden romances that test loyalties and marriages, jeopardizing the town's pristine image and proving that perfection is far more complicated than anyone could imagine. I mean, that's intriguing to me. It's very Hunting Wives coded, actually, and I'm here for it. It also kind of reflects what Francis, the NBC exec who oversees Unscripted, she had said it, I think, in that recent interview that she did, that they're kind of looking to expand past just the coastal audience for Bravo, and that along with like McBee Dynasty and stuff definitely cater to a slightly different audience. But I'm just as intrigued by these shows as I would be by other ones. And another new show is Vanderpump Rules Lisa Las Vegas. So Lisa Vanderpump is once again getting a new show on Bravo. It says Lisa Vanderpump has been ruling over the Las Vegas Strip for years now, with three hotspot restaurants serving up chic cocktails in her signature whimsical settings. Now she's expanding her Vegas empire through the opening of her high-profile namesake hotel. In this limited series, we follow the behind-the-scenes dash to make the property worthy of the Vanderpump rebrand. LVP shares what inspired the newest enterprise and pulls back the curtain on the down-to-the-wire drama. The series will culminate at the Vanderpump Hotel's lavish opening party, with fan favorite Bravo celebrities celebrating the launch. So this, even though it has the Vanderpump Rules branding, it's not a new Vanderpump Rules show, in that it sounds like it's not going to center on the employees at this hotel. It sounds like it's going to be centered on LVP and just like her journey to setting up this hotel, which actually I was invited to this opening, but I can't go. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be another Vanderpump Rules. Because at first when I saw this, I was like, wait, but Vanderpump Villa exists over on Hulu, which also, now that I come to think of it, I don't know if they announced that they had renewed that show when I went to that Get Real Hulu event last month. They announced when the reunion was going to be, but I don't think they announced a new season of that show. Maybe they did, but I feel like they just announced the reunion. So because I was like, oh, like, how can you have Vanderpump Rules Hotel version over on Bravo and then Vanderpump Villa over on Hulu? It's kind of weird. So not sure what's going on there, but this does not sound like it's like another Vanderpump Rules. It sounds like it's kind of like a docu-series spin-off type vibe about her. Definitely more excited about the Texas Wives one, but I'm always down for new Bravo programming. Who am I kidding? And then I mentioned Next Gen. They also released the Next Gen season 2 trailer, which I think looks fantastic. I fucking love the show, and it's very much leaning into, like, you know, it being a show about a show, which is what I think that Vanderpump Rules should have done a long time ago, and they could have maybe kept more of that cast going for longer. There's like a lot of talk about, you know, how they come across on the show, and Ava Dash's dad filing for bankruptcy, and just different things. Like they tape at BravoCon. There's all their famous moms are in it. Brooke Shields' daughter is now on the show. You know, there's a lot of clips of like social media content creators talking about Ariana and Hudson's breakup and things like that. So I'm very intrigued by the show. I think the trailer is really smart. I think it's a good direction for the show. And it looks great, honestly. And obviously missing from that are renewals for the currently airing shows, which they don't normally do. It's just notable that Real Housewives of Rhode Island got one because it's just doing so well, and they wanted to make a big splash with that early renewal, and the cast was at the upfronts. So I think that was really smart of them to do. But don't necessarily worry about the other currently airing shows just because they weren't announced as being renewed. But there were zero mentions of the Vanderpump Rules reboot and the Real Housewives of Miami in any of the press materials, which I think is also very notable. And then if you're still worried about Ladies of London, while Ladies of London and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills were not included in the renewed shows, they were called out in the press release as having quote, recently finaled, which actually makes me hopeful. One, because The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is the number one show on Bravo. So that's not going anywhere. Who knows like what the state of the cast will be, but that show is remaining. And Ladies of London being sort of grouped in with that gives me some hope. And also, I just think that it's like too soon. I mean, Ladies of London just ended like a week ago and Beverly Hills ended less than a week ago. So that's why I think those were not on the renewed list. So yeah, that's sort of my analysis and my takes on the big Bravo news that we got today. They also announced that BravoCon is going to come back next year as expected in fall of 2027. But this year, they're also bringing back Bravo Fan Fest. And instead of it being in Miami, like the first time, 2 years ago, it is going to be in Charleston this year. It's going to be a one-day event that takes place on Saturday, October 24th. But also, Andy Cohen's going to be doing, I think, 4 Watch What Happens Live tapings throughout that weekend, 2 on Thursday, the 22nd, and 2 on Friday, the 23rd. So it's kind of like a, I guess it's a 3-day thing, technically, if you include the Watch What Happens Live stuff. But the tickets go on sale on Thursday, June 11th at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific at bravofanfest.com. And then tickets for Watch What Happens Live go on sale the next day, the 12th at 12 p.m. Eastern, also at bravofanfest.com. So if it's anything like the last one, which I wasn't at, it's basically like a more intimate, smaller scale BravoCon where there's still a lot of Bravo celebrities there. They do Watch What Happens Live tapings. But I think it's a little bit less built out and probably less tickets are available. That's also an exciting update for people who like to do the in-person Bravo events. And of course, there's one other piece of Bravo news that we got as part of the upfront. And that is that Sierra Miller from Summer House is going to co-host Love Island USA's After Sun, which is the once a week sort of like after show, late show kind of vibe. It has like some interviews and they recap what's going on the week on Love Island. She's going to co-host that with Teffy, who I think hosts a podcast for The Cut, and she's a big influencer. I'm not super familiar with her, but on paper, it could feel maybe a little bit random that Teffy is doing it, like, and with Sierra, which makes you think that like perhaps like was Sierra added to the gig later than Teffy? Maybe was it Teffy's to begin with, and then Sierra's obviously skyrocketing right now, and Love Island is, you know, obviously Ariana Maddox is the host of Love Island USA. She became the host after Scandoval, and Sierra joining that, it's obviously sort of mirrors that trajectory. So I think it makes a sense. It's good brand association with Ariana for Sierra. So either way, I don't know how it all happened, but it's a really good gig for her. She's obviously been doing a lot of hosting on red carpets and such. I do think it's kind of funny that like Love Island, Dancing with the Stars, doing one sort of big women's magazine cover. There is sort of this, not formula, but there's this sort of like track that these people can be put into after something like this happens. And I think it's great. I'm so glad Sierra is getting this treatment, just like Ariana did, because they're both such huge stars. And obviously, when you hear that Sierra is going to co-host After Sun, which films in Australia, where Love Island USA films, Love Island USA, it starts on June 2nd this year. And usually the season goes for 6 weeks. And I think After Show is once a week for either the entire time or most of the time. So when you think about that and how Summer House starts filming July 4th weekend every season, obviously the initial response is like, okay, how can Sierra possibly do both of these things? Add on top of that the fact that Dancing with the Stars usually starts around like beginning of September. I don't know when they start actually training. I think maybe that's like a little bit up in the air, but like they definitely start training before the show actually starts. But I feel like those announcements happen around then usually. Sierra and Maura Higgins, again, reminder, were announced early. But like that, the idea that Sierra is going to do After Sun, Summer House, and then Dancing with the Stars back to back to back feels like a lot. And also there is definitely some overlap in the usual production schedules there. And so again, initial thought is, okay, does this mean that she might not be coming back to Summer House after all? That's the natural inclination. And that's the natural jump to make, again, given the usual production calendars. But I was told that it's not out of the question for Sierra to also be doing Summer House this season. It is not a foregone conclusion that she will not be on the show. That's what I was told. Again, I don't know how that works. Maybe she does some of After Sun virtually. Maybe she does some mostly like the first 2/3 of it and then Teffy handles the rest. Maybe does After Sun stop after like, does it stop before the last like week or two of the show and before it ends? I don't know. Or maybe she just comes to Summer House late. I don't know. But like either way, if Sierra is able to pull off After Sun
in Fiji, summer house in the Hamptons, Dancing with the Stars in LA, essentially for like, what would that be like? 4 to 6 months in a row. That is like a generational run right there. Like that would be, I would be so impressed. I'm impressed if she would do two of those things. Who knows? I really hope again that we get her on Summer House still somehow. I'm really happy for her to get this After Sun gig. It's a really big opportunity for her. So I don't know. I think, you know, again, selfishly, I want her there. I would love for her to see more of Mia, KJ, and Sierra together. But I think to also like Sierra, she's been through a lot of shit. She's given a lot to the show. She has no obligation to stick around. Again, I hope she does. So who knows? And we'll find out soon enough. Whatever decision she makes about Summer House, whatever becomes possible because of these other commitments, I'm really happy that she's embracing all the opportunities that are coming her way as a result of this scandal, which she did not ask to be part of. And then also, regardless of what she does about Summer House, she can always come back and do In the City at some point, given, I mean, assuming that show continues after the first season. It films in the fall, so I don't envision her filming In the City for season 2 during filming for Dancing with the Stars. I guess then it's possible that she's doing 4 shows in 6 months. I guess I don't really see that unless they like let her film it in LA. I don't know. But again, she's given a lot to the show. She's given a lot to us. And she's been through a lot. And she seems really good right now. And I just love seeing her win. You guys, I'm obsessed with Quince. I've been trying to be a bit more intentional lately about what I wear, opting for clean, classic, comfortable looks that are easy to throw together and still have me looking put together when I walk out the door. Quince has become one of my go-tos because the fabrics feel elevated and everything just works without needing to overthink it. I find that when I have a closet full of solid, versatile clothes, it's easy to mix and match to come up with a chic look. And Quince is the easiest place to go to stock up on timeless pieces. My current favorite item from Quince is their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater, which I have in 2 colors, true navy and heather gray, and I wear them multiple times a week. It's that time of year where it might be gorgeous and sunny during the day, but it's a bit chillier at night. So I usually drape Quince's Mongolian cashmere crew neck over my shoulders for a laid back, preppy look. And then I throw it on when the temperature drops. It's perfect. Lightweight, insanely soft, and it keeps me warm. And it's also less than $60, which is unthinkable for cashmere. But everything from Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/gabbingwithgib for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/gabbingwithgib for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/gabbingwithgib. But I also think that Sierra getting all of this opportunity, all these big opportunities in show business, and her being a little bit less reliant on Summer House, again, whether or not she's coming back, She's in a power position right now, which I think gives her a little bit of leverage and leeway to speak out and to say things that are maybe a little messier or maybe other people would get penalized for or spoken to for. And that gets me to her being a little messy online this past weekend with the Jen Fessler and West Wilson claim. So as I'm sure a lot of you are aware, I'll do a little run through of what's gone on. Josh the Roni stan, he put out on Threads that former Real Housewives of New Jersey friend of Jen Fessler was asked by Page Six about the Summer House scandal tonight at the Vulture event. And she said this about West. He is the cutest, sweetest golden retriever puppy dog. He does not mean any harm. He didn't mean it. He's just trying to have a good time. He doesn't want to hurt anyone. Give him a break. Girl, dot, 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 dot. And yeah, that is a really ill-advised quote, I would say. He did nothing. He didn't mean any harm. Oh, he didn't mean it. Oh, he didn't. So does that mean he just gets a pass? He shouldn't be reprimanded. He shouldn't be criticized. Like, come on now. And huh, why would somebody be so sympathetic to him? Well, Sierra slid into the replies and she said, LOL, because they slept together too. I mean, mic drop heard around the internet. I was on vacation and my phone was blowing up. And I mean, if you were not at a loss for words for this, like at this, like I just don't know what to say. This was a wild, wild, wild reveal. Somebody replied and said, ma'am, I beg your pardon. Ain't that old lady married? Oh, he got a type. And Sierra says, that's what I thought, dot, dot, dot. And then she did the cartwheel emoji. Now that cartwheel emoji has since been used by KJ and others. I'm using it. It's suddenly gone from an emoji that I never even think about using to kind of instantly iconic, instantly associated with something, and it carries meaning. Sierra later put it on her story after you know, Jen Fessler and Wes Wilson put out these statements that I'll get to in a second. That emoji is just, it's the symbol all of a sudden of this, this storyline, I guess. And it's just so funny and random. I love it. So after Sierra put these out, the internet obviously went ablaze. This was on Friday. And they were like, oh my God, this is true. They start combing through everything. Jen Fessler gives a statement to Page Six. She says, it's flattering that anybody would think that someone who slept with Sierra Miller would be interested in sleeping with me. West wrote on his story, news to me, tagged Jen Fessler and put that meme that's like the woman like with the math problems around her head looking confused. So they're both playing dumb. They're both like, no, this didn't happen. Jen Fessler then comes out with another statement. She posts on her story in like cursive font. And she says, in all seriousness, while I can't help but be a little flattered, it is not nice, nor is it okay, to post something categorically untrue and defamatory on social media, regardless of whatever rumors or apparent, quote, evidence led you to that conclusion. That is the definition of libel. If it were true, I would have no recourse. Because it's a lie, this can get more complicated. Having said that, I hope we can rectify this. It's enough now. And I think the Bravo docket posted that basically, like, her taking it there and her like having some sort of case to win against Sierra would be pretty far-fetched because you have to prove that it's not true. Like maybe Sierra can't prove that it is true, but can they prove it's also not true? Sierra then posted another thread after Jen Fessler's legal threat of Lisa Barlow saying, I'm shaking, I'm physically shaking, when she's on the phone famously with one of her seven lawyers in the Sprinter van after Jen Shaw got arrested. And then she wrote LOL along with that GIF. And then she also posted the cartwheel emoji on her story. So Sierra's not shaking in her boot. She is standing 10 toes down. KJ also posted the cartwheels, as I said. And what I'm thinking here personally is like, okay, take a step back. Why would Sierra just randomly lie about this? Like that doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe they didn't actually sleep together. Maybe Wes and Jen Fessler just allegedly maybe hooked up. So they're getting away on technicality that they didn't actually sleep together. Maybe they hooked up or made out or whatever. I don't know. That I'm trying to make sense of them like doubling down on denying it and like kind of joking about it. And the funny thing also is that like Wes posting this immediate response and tagging Jen Fessler, when does he ever do that? Like in the Amanda, when the stuff about him and Amanda was bubbling up, he never posted anything like this on a story, or of course not as quickly because they were denying it so much. He lied on Watch Happens Live. So just funny that like he shot this down so quickly, which is like not how he usually handles things, or at least it wasn't how he handled the other part of the scandal. So I don't know. And also her threatening to like basically sue Sierra is so fucking lame. I don't know. I believe it. Like I believe that maybe like Wes confessed it to Sierra at some point. She obviously probably never planned on telling anybody, but now she's like, fuck it. You know, I have Love Island. I have Summer House. I have Dancing with the Stars. I can fuck around and find out. And she put it out there and she blew up the internet. And as I mentioned, like a bunch of the fan pages and stuff have been piecing together evidence from the past that sort of point to the possibility of this potentially having been true. This is not really evidence that it happened, but it is kind of weird that Jen Fessler posted an anniversary post, happy 27 years of marriage to her husband. You could sleep with West or Amanda and I'd still stay. Okay. Did not age well. I think that's probably, at best, it didn't age well. There was this clip of West on Jen's old podcast, I think that she had with Jackie, where she was just like staring at him like with puppy dog eyes as he talked about like whether he's been in love before. And just, it was just definitely some flirty, weird energy. There was a time when Jackie was on Watch What Happens Live with Jen Fessler, and Jackie let it slip that West was her hall pass with her husband. And then he had also said, apparently on Watch What Happens Live, that he had slept with someone in their 50s. And then on the Below Deck podcast, Yacht and Mess, Mark told Daisy at some point, I don't know when this clip was from exactly, but it's an old clip. You know, Daisy's like, wow, everybody fancies West. And Mark's like, well, I know, I have it on authority that he slept with an East Coast housewife. Okay. There's also an old story from Us Weekly, I think based on maybe a podcast episode of Jen's, talking about how she and her husband had been separated before because he had an affair and she had some affairs allegedly. So there's some history there of potentially stepping out on the marriage. And then there's also the potential night in question, which is when Bravo had a watch party. I think it must have been Summer House and Jersey and Dubai, because it was like Lisa Milan, Jen Fessler, West Wilson. I don't know exactly who else was there, but that's when there's the video that she posted where she was calling him Messy Wessy. And they were like really drunk together, it seems, at this Bravo watch party or after it. So there's a lot of like kind of smoke around this that could point to this potentially being true, what Sierra said. So listen, I'm gonna stand on the side right now of like, I don't think Sierra is just going to make this up out of thin air. Clearly her and West were close for a time, or maybe two times, because they were close again last summer into the fall. And I believe that maybe he confessed to her that something happened between him and Jen. And maybe they're getting off on the fact that they know there's no evidence of it. It's just hearsay. Then maybe they didn't technically sleep together. I don't know. But again, I'm not going to believe Wes because he was lying about Amanda the whole time. And Jen has her marriage to protect. So like, I don't know. It's up for everyone to decide. But this is definitely a huge curveball. Such a random turn for this Scamando West Side Story situation to take. And it's kind of a fun one, I have to say. And then the last two things, Amanda did return to Instagram with that mirror picture where she just wrote boo. And then it's funny because Danielle Oliveira posted essentially the same exact selfie without boo written on it. So it was definitely from their confessionals for In the City, the dressing room there. Yeah, I guess I don't really know what to think about Amanda posting that and saying boo. It's like, I guess it's like somewhat self-aware, but it's also like, girl, like, I don't know. Ugh, I'm so torn. And then there's also Wes' podcast where he talked about his nudes being leaked, which again, I'm happy that Wes is like facing the punishment for his crimes and being, you know, dragged through the mud for what he's done here. But leaking somebody's nudes, I think, is kind of always fucked up. And he had a pretty good sense of humor about it in this clip that I saw. Again, I don't have like that much sympathy, but I think that you know, obviously sending pictures of somebody nude without their consent is, I think, technically like revenge porn or illegal. So I don't know. First of all, it's like potentially illegal. And second of all, I just think it's kind of a fucked up thing to do. But he did have a good sense of humor about it. And yes, I have seen them, by the way. And he also said in another clip that, you know, the reunion was the first step in terms of moving things forward with this group. And he only cares about that in terms of moving closer to a resolution. And the only thing he can do from here is learn and try to be better. And it's just funny because it's like, yeah, I'm going to give him credit for having a good sense of humor about the nudes leaking. But like this clip, this other clip, it's like, this is more than he said in any of those leaked audios from the reunion. He was like, where he was like mute. And this is so like, you know, I'm just learning and trying to be better. Like, it's so generic and so like, what are you actually talking about? Get specific. And it's just so funny that he all of a sudden is like, has all this stuff to say about, you know, Summer House on his podcast. And my read on that, actually, you guys, is that it's kind of like, I think he sees the very realistic possibility that he's not going to be on Summer House next season. You know, he was banking on having like a reality TV career for years and years and years. I think there's very real possibility that at least for now, it's done for right now. Again, if Sierra comes back, he's not coming back, I don't think. So if Wes is not coming back, which is, again, a big if, I think that sort of explains why he's being so outspoken on his podcast all of a sudden. This is a sports podcast where he never talked about Summer House before. Kind of like how on Giggly Squad, they never really talk about the show or the drama in their lives. And so this is a big departure all of a sudden for him to be talking about Summer House every week. And obviously, he's never had as much of a scandal or as much going on to talk about in this way. But like, I read this as he doesn't really have anything to lose if he's potentially going to lose the show. And secondly, this is a way to get people into the podcast feed. People are going to subscribe to West podcast to try to see if he, you know, spills any tea each week or says anything else about Summer House or Sierra or Amanda. People are going to listen for these things because people like to clip them out and to run with them and to whatever. It's kind of like how Travis and Jason Kelsey, they'll drop little things about Taylor or Kylie Kelsey or whatever, or Donna Kelsey. And those get pickup and those get people to listen to their podcast. And they know that. And Wes knows that about Summer House. And so if he no longer is going to have the show, potentially, big potentially, okay, he's going to make money on this podcast. It also gets people in. You get what I'm saying, right? Because like before 2 weeks ago, I was never, ever mentioning West podcast. I barely even knew it existed because he never talked about anything other than sports on there, apparently. So I think that was very interesting. Those are my thoughts on the latest sort of Summer House out of show updates. I am going to have a Summer House episode on Friday with a great guest that I think you guys will really like. So I'll get more into what's happened on the show last week and obviously this week as well. But I wanted to get this out there separately from the Beverly Hills episode tomorrow with these big new Bravo announcements because I'm back from vacation. I'm feeling generous and there's a lot to talk about and I have a lot to say. So anyway, that is it for today's little surprise drop episode. I'll be back tomorrow again with Beverly Hills and later this week with more Summer House. So thanks so much for listening to Gabbing with Gib. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to this right now. A positive rating or review would be really, really appreciated. And again, thank you so much for the support. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you guys several more times this week.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.